Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag. Bring.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, black power, black power, more black power. To my people, this is your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an honor to be able to talk to you, my family, and I know that the enemy's listening as well. To be able to talk to you from this platform that we call Black Power Radio. Gotta send you greetings on behalf of the boldest chairman anywhere to be found. Black man that is crisscrossing the globe, not taking no shorts and not taking any prisoners for truth. We call him the warrior lawyer, the attorney at war, a decorated general in battle, 5 stars to be exact. Talking about that black man that has been battle-tested and battle-trained and is battle-ready on all fronts. We send you greetings of Assalamu Alaikum and Hotep and Shalom, Shalom. Peace to the gods, peace to the earths. What's up? From our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And we send you greetings of peace and prosperity for our people from every single chapter of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Hell, we black at it again, opening this show and thanking the almighty, true, wise, and living black God for sending us warners and sending us helpers and sending us freedom fighters and sending us soldiers and sending us examples. Those who would not take oppression lightly. Those who did not take abuse lightly. Those who did not take misuse lightly. But those that would stand up and give the bastards, these bastards, hell. And would run these bastards all over the hills of North America and fight to the last man and woman standing. Talking about our ancestors, whether you're talking about Nat Gat Turner, or if you're talking about Sojourner Truth, or if you're talking about Denmark Vesey, if you're talking about Toussaint Louverture, you're talking about Bookman, If you're talking about Martin Delaney, if you're talking about Noble Drew Ali, if you're talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you're talking about Marcus Mosiah Garvey, if you're talking about our Honorable Comrade Minister Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party formation of the 1960s, for the Lounge Counter Freedom Party, if you're talking about the any of them, whoever you're talking about, if they fought for our freedom, we recognize them on this Memorial Day. As we are not celebrating on this Memorial Day any of those who have worked to uphold U.S. imperialism and who have worked to uphold the oppression of indigenous people and the brutality of indigenous people the world over. On this Memorial Day, we are celebrating our freedom fighters, male and female, who have given lives and paid that ultimate sacrifice, but also those that have taken lives, Black Power. And so we're thankful for all of those, and we have to give thanks in this hour for a man who blazed the trail, a man who blazed the trail and showed us what it was like, what it looked like to have our faith and our fight, a man that told us that his sole purpose on this planet and his sole mission on this planet was to give the white man hail from the cradle to the grave, to give the oppressor and the enemy and the devil hail from the cradle to the grave, a man that fought for the freedom and independence of black people, the self-determination of black people, and the dignity of black men and women the world over. We're talking about a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man, who was uncompromising with the enemy, who was trained, a trained soldier, a disciplined soldier, a warrior, and a general himself. We call him the Black Power General. We're talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, in whose spirit we come at you with. And as you can clearly see, we're still at it. We're talking about now, how in the hell, you got all this money, President Barack Obama and the United States Treasury Department, how do you got approximately $10 billion you've already spent to wage a senseless war or senseless wars abroad and overseas in different pockets of that region? You're waging wars in Afghanistan, waging war in Libya, preparing to wage war against Pakistan and other areas. How can you wage war in other areas and you have not waged war on hunger and poverty, unemployment, meager health care, better education? How is it that you can wage war in the defense of so-called freedoms and democracies, and your own people, in your case, your nation, but I'm talking specifically to you as a black man, your own people are not free in the hills and smells of North America, in the ghettos of North America, in the pits of North America. Black people are not free. Black people in 2011, the most disproportionate, displaced people anywhere to be found in the world, right here on your own soil. Right here on your own soil, your people without power, your people without control of the very decisions that affect their lives, your people facing inequality, facing poverty, facing insecurity, low-paying jobs, short lifespan, no grip on reality. Your people going through all of this right now, not to mention your people that are facing all type of injustice and inequality in Kenya, in your mother country, facing it also in Hawaii. All of these indigenous areas in turmoil, in upheaval, in disarray, but yet you would spend $10 billion. $10 billion to fight the white man's war and fight for U.S. imperialism. Fight the corporations' war. Fight big businesses' war. But you won't stand up for the pitiful poor black man and black woman in the hells of North America. $10 billion. And so right now, brothers and sisters, as it looks like, as Minister Malcolm X taught over 30 years ago, that you've been hired, that you've been hoodwinked, that you've been bamboozled and led astray and run amok. They have spent more money, more taxpayers' money, not just black. Everybody who pays taxes, they have spent more money to wage senseless war, and right now with the war that's happening in Libya, you got to ask yourself, right now in 2011, what could that money have been spent on? That money could have been spent on eradicating poverty in some of the worst countries or worse off countries in the world. You could have been eradicating poverty. You could have been dealing with the high cost of living or killer disease, hunger. But instead, you bowed down to Zionist pressure. You bowed down to corporate greed and corporate pressure. And so instead of doing the right thing, instead of doing that which is morally correct and right in the eyes of history, and I would say even our ancestors and the black God Almighty, you fight their wars. And so, and since you're fighting their wars and spending the money for them, your people are going buck wild and crazy in the hells of North America, where the victims right now of a two-party shell game, a two-party shell game. I'm talking about the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Democratic Party right now is considered by the average black man and black woman to be the lesser of the two evils, the lesser evil, considered, and you have taken the illusion that the Democratic Party is the party of the people. And so you have accepted the decision hook, line, and sinker. But as we move towards June the 25th, and we move towards independent thinking, independent action, independent recourse, Kujicha Dalia, as we move towards organizing the masses of black men and black women and indigenous people the world over, as we move towards organizing toward a nation and landmass of our own, the two-party shell game, the deception of the two-party shell game becomes exposed from the very outstart. It's very important that you understand the deception of the two-party shell game. You got to understand the role of this party or these parties in upholding and enforcing racism. A racism that our people knew was very clear in the South, but that also wore the mask of liberalism in the North. But black people suffer both in the North and the South, in the East and the West. We are the victims of racism and every robber from coast to coastline in the hills of North America. In practice, to be honest, the Democratic Party is no less racist than the Republican Party. And then when you press the Democrats, and when you press these parties, they throw out a few concessions to the people. When they're under duress, they throw black people a few measly, meager concessions, a few posts, a few tokens, a few pacifiers to placate us. That's what they do. When you ask yourself, what have you really received? What have you really acquired under these regimes? It's nothing but concessions, a few posts, a few tokens, a few pacifiers. But neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party, the two biggest capitalistic parties, not the only, but the two biggest capitalistic parties, neither one of these parties have any intention of ending racism at all. That's what I said. Neither one of these parties, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, neither one of these parties have any intention of ending racism. And so with this two-party setup, and with the way that the white power structure has it set up, this gives you, black people, the illusion, my people, and indigenous people listening, that black people will get freedom through some kind of gradual reform of capitalism and through some kind of gradual reform of its institutions. See, when the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense talks on revolutionary black nationalism and revolutionary Pan-Africanism, then many of you who don't understand the placates and the tokens that have been thrown out to the people, you immediately fall back on and begin to talk about reforms and talk about reforms that can be made within the institutions of capitalism. But that automatically shows us that you don't understand white supremacy. You don't understand capitalism. You don't understand imperialism. You don't understand neocolonialism and colonialism. You don't understand Zionism. And so without that basis, you cannot intelligently have the correct dialogue or the correct perception needed to put the black agenda on the forefront. You don't have the correct perception or the correct agenda. You don't have the correct understanding of what it takes to lead the masses of black people, because you don't understand that which affects the masses of black people. You don't understand that which harms the masses of black people. All we have received is a few concessions. A job here, a job there. A few tokens here, a few tokens there. But all the while, under this white power structure, we have nothing but illusions of freedom. Nothing but thoughts of gradual reform underneath capitalism and its institutions. And no matter what book you use, no matter what history you read, the history of the past couple hundred years testifies that that's a lie, that you would never get gradual reform underneath the white man's capitalism and institutions. Look at the prison industrial complex today. Look at how many men and women right now, in particular, black men and women right now, are locked up behind prison walls underneath the guise of institutional reform. How many of those locked down, in particular black, how many of those come out reformed, better human beings, better servants of the people, better brothers, better sisters, better husbands, better wives, better fathers, better mothers, more ready to develop for self and do for self, more ready to organize for self, more ready to push for self. How many come out ready to change and ready to build? Statistics say that prison is a revolving door. That prison is a revolving door. That the majority of those who come out of the penitentiaries, the majority of those that come out of the jail cells, whether it's local, state, or federal, that they in due time, almost all of the time, will end up right back in the cell again, right back on the cell block. So if you were running a corporation and you were taking statistics and looking for progress, and you're looking for results with your reform and for your change, if your own statistical data tells you that your prison industrial complex and the way that you house those who offend the law has failed and is failing and does not work in terms of proper reform, then wouldn't an intelligent man or an intelligent woman do something different? But instead, the prison industrial complex is kept on private market. And it is kept for those who can put enough money together and build and warehouse and institutionalize men and women who have, for whatever reason, fractured or had an infraction of the law. And so ultimately, prison and jail is big business. It's big business. It's not designed to change anybody. It's not designed to help anybody. If you use your time while you're in there and you learn something, then great. But in the eyes of those who set these things up, they're not designed to help you. They're not designed to build you. They're not designed to mold you. They're not designed to shape you. They are designed to warehouse you. And so you find more black men and women locked down in the prison system, warehoused in the jails, local, county, state, federal, than you find in the college campus, on the workforce, and even in the house. All because of capitalism that is institutionalized, and our people buying into the American dream, that after chasing the capital or chasing the dollar, that you will be able to live a luxurious life as displayed on many of these reality TV shows and talk shows. And you, unfortunately, like the mouse going to the mouse trap, you go after the cheese and you get caught in the trap. You get killed, you're dead, because you're chasing the cheese. Chasing after the cheese. And you're not manufacturing your own cheese. That's a metaphor for those that's buffering. And so we're in this two-party setup, under this illusion, dealing with this capitalism and the institutions. And now you're working to try to push for gradual reform. But the past couple hundred years of history has already told you and told me that it won't be done like that. So they tell me that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Black people in America are doing the same things over and over and over and over again. And unfortunately, we're expecting a different result. Black people, you will never be liberated by supporting any political party, any religious institution, anything constructed that is controlled by your oppressor. You will never be liberated working within the confines of your oppressor's system and power structure. You will never be liberated trying to do that which was constructed for you to fill out in the first place. That's why the drug game and the dope game is the way that it is. That's why there's an inordinate amount of manufactured weaponry and guns in the black community, illegal arms in the black community, to go along with the illegally shipped in dope and cocaine and drugs that are in the black community. Because this is the way it's constructed for us to fail. This is the way it is constructed for us to be oppressed. And some of you out there, you're scared to go against the status quo. You're timid to go against the status quo, but the status quo is killing you, black man and black woman. I'm talking specifically to my people. Big businesses And the racist systems, they only are there for their own profit. They're only there for their own profit. This war that's going on right now, the wars that are being fought right now, they are only being fought for big businesses and for the profiteers. They're not being fought for any freedom in the black community. They're not being fought for an attack on hunger and poverty, violence in the community. They're not being fought for better education, better psychological health, better dietary, so that the babies can come up with a better future and a better plan, better than what we have right now. These wars that are being fought right now are being fought because corporations, CEOs, they have a vested interest in keeping warfare happening and wars going on. Every time there's a war, the corporations at the root of the war always make a profit. See, we're still talking about capitalism. See, because all warfare is, or that kind of warfare is politics with bloodshed. It's politics with bloodshed. So you have, again, the two-party shell game, the two parties, the two biggest capitalist parties that will push for a war that they know there's nothing factual on, that they know there's no soundproof on, that they know there's no logical reason to have. But they push for it so that they can take over the landmass and also so that they can profit financially. Now, in the meanwhile, you have thousands of men and women of all ethnic groups, particularly the black man and black woman who have historically been on the front lines of the wars and used in many wars as human shields at one time. You have thousands of men and women who lose their life because greedy corporations and greedy CEOs and profiteers want to fatten their pockets. See, big business and the racist system, they preserve its own for profit. And see, they won't be challenged for control of legitimate authority as long as the people are restricted to choosing between candidates or programs or institutions or the two parties, the Democrat and the Republican, or those who are under the capitalist control, under their thumb. As long as you have limited choice and you're not able to choose your own, see? You're not able to elect your own from your own community. You're not able to be tried by a jury of your peers. When the last time you went to court and you were tried by a jury of people that really knew you, grew up with you, understand some of the things that you went through? When was the last time? As long as you have limited options in the black community, you can never have control. You will never be able to challenge for control of some real power, some real black power, some real authority, as long as you are restricted to choosing between their candidates and their programs and their parties and their agendas and their way of thinking, their education. You'll never have it. You'll never have it. See, because the tradition of electoral democracy that's manipulated by the rich for their own ends. Some of you out there, you keep talking to us, to the new Black Panther Party, about this democracy, and they say that they're fighting for democracy. But don't you understand that the rich manipulate democracy for their own ends and agenda? They have control of the media. They have control of the radio waves. They have propaganda that goes out 24 hours a day. And based upon whether you are in their good graces or not determines on how they promote you to the media. See, Oprah can be promoted before the world as the darling of the world because she is not controversial. Oprah Winfrey is our sister, but Oprah Winfrey has never tackled controversial black issues. Oprah Winfrey has never brought on her stage, not one time, controversial, so-called controversial black guests. Not from a black masses perspective. Not from a black power perspective. Not from an outside of the status quo perspective. Oprah Winfrey has always brought on safe guests. And so she's promoted before the world. She's the mannequin of the world and really the black nation, where black women look at her and say, yeah, I can be like Oprah. I can be a millionaire like Oprah. I can have my own company like Oprah. I can do this and do that like Oprah. Not understanding that Oprah Winfrey is not a free woman. Even though she controls her own cameras and had her own studio and all of that she had, Oprah Winfrey is under control. So they weren't worried about what Oprah had to say because they already knew what Oprah was going to say. They already knew what was going to come out of her mouth was not going to disturb the status quo in any kind of way. It was not going to bother white supremacy and its institutions any kind of way. She was safe. She's safe. Whatever she does after her show is going to be safe. She's right there in Chicago, Illinois, where Brother Darion Albert lost his life, where so many other men and women lose their life in the streets on a daily and consistent basis, yet she refuses to put substantial monies into the ghettos of Chicago, the West Side, the South Side. She refuses to put monies on the ground with the people who need it. But she will, for what appears to be a camera op, she'll build up a little school in Africa that certain people are selected to attend, reportedly. And she won't even build up in her own neighborhoods. This is what I'm talking about when we're talking about the rich manipulating democracy for their own ends. See? Because if they were truly about their version of democracy as they frame it, it would permit the people the right to establish their own political party, which they can take over and run local, state, and national governments. See? When was the last time that any members of any branch of Congress or any branch up there ever consulted with you on the ground, the grassroots, about the laws that they're passing? About the bills that they're signing into effect and into law. When was the last time? See? That's why you have to have a black party. That's why you have to have an independent black party. A black party independent of capitalist control. See? That's willing to push the envelope. You got to have a new black Panther Party, a real new Black Panther Party that's willing to push the envelope independent of capitalist control and that will take advantage of our rights, our God-given rights. We're not even just talking about legal rights. We're talking about our God-given rights, our rights passed on to us by our forefathers and foremothers. Our rights as black men and women who have suffered much in the hells of North America. and even some legal rights. You got to have a party of your own, black man and black woman, as we build for a nation of our own. That's what I said. Got to have your own ideology. You got to have your own thought processes. You got to have your own economy. Got to stop. We have to stop being the number one consumers and start becoming producers, black man and black woman. See? Then we can take control of some of these areas, both high and both low. And see, then if those capitalists tried to prevent that, that would expose their farce, their lie, their illusion of electoral democracy. See, that's why, if you remember, J. Edgar Hoover, former FBI director, cross-dressing homosexual, J. Edgar Hoover, he said that he would prevent the rise of a black messiah that could unify the hearts and minds of the people, of course, but he also told you that there would not be one if he could help it unless they created that. Unless they created one. He didn't say that there couldn't be one, but he wanted to have a black messiah or a black unifier, a black electric figure that would come before the world that was created by certain powers and higher powers in government. A created illusion of power to settle some of you black power brothers and sisters down. See, I watched how many of us when President Obama took office, many of you felt like now that there was nothing to fight for now, that all of a sudden now that the positions that the new Black Panther Party take are now all of a sudden irrelevant, because now you have a black man. Now you have a black man who, you know, has taken and ascended to the office of the presidency. But as I told you in the last broadcast, when you get past the emotion of it all, when you get past the fact that this man has black skin, and you start looking at his policies and the procedures, and even in the cabinet, that's not a progressive agenda there. That's not the change you were hoping for there. I told you last time, the man, policy-wise, could be a Bush double. That's what I said. He could be a Bush double. If you closed your eyes and didn't know he was a black face, it could be just like George W. Bush. Same thing. It's a farce. It's a farce. See? And so we got to expose the farce and create the conditions where the masses can legitimately fight, as Minister Malcolm X said, by any means necessary for freedom. See, now you got to begin to take, and we have to begin to take the words of Minister Malcolm, the words, of course, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the words of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the words of Noble Drew Ali, the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the words of all of the freedom fighters. You got to begin now to take the words past being words, has to become flesh, has to become material, has to become motion, has to become action now. See, if it's just words, brothers and sisters, then that's not a threat to the enemy. If it's just words, that doesn't stop U.S. imperialism. That doesn't stop capitalism. That doesn't stop Zionism. That does not stop white supremacy. It does not stop police brutality. It does not stop inadequate health care. It does not stop anything if it's just words. So we have to take the awesome task now of taking it past words into action. You got to begin now to fight for your freedoms against tyranny, brother and sister, of the rich. Do you know that the rich are tyrants? These bloodsuckers of the poor, they're tyrants. And as long as they have their money to back them up, they don't intend to stop their tyranny. See, there's a very rich white minority. A very rich white minority that is really a, you know, the tyrannical force behind much of what you see. See, and if we're going to move ahead towards black liberation, the black liberation movement must be able now to counter the deceptions, the political deceptions, and the real deceptions that are out here. Many of you have taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker on the new Black Panther Party. And you allow some sound bites or some misguided ones from among us, or some of us who shoot ourselves in our own foot even, to overshadow the program and position and the purpose of the new Black Panther Party. And we can no longer allow that. If we're going to move ahead in the black liberation movement, we're going to have to begin to counter the enormous political deceptions used by our enemies. Can't no longer sit back and allow them to dump on us and dump on you and dump on our community as though we the only ones out here doing wrong, committing crimes. There's more good that goes on in the black community than what goes on off times than bad. But you don't hear about that on the 6 o'clock news, the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock news or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news. You don't hear about the good that happens in the black community. You always hear about us when we're shooting somebody. Somebody getting killed, somebody getting kidnapped, somebody breaking in somebody's house. Somebody caught up in some kind of conspiracy, something wrong going on. That's all you normally hear about on the news, on these news outlets, whether national or local, about the black community. But you never hear about the young boy, young girl who got their high school diploma, who's a mathematician, who's learned science, who's built things in their own garage, the geniuses in the black community. You never hear about it because the media corporation is just as complicit. See, we're talking about capitalism. We're talking about the reason why unjust wars can happen and there's no outcry from the people, no sustained enormous outcry from the people, because the media is just as complicit to the innocent life that is lost and the deceptions that are played by these capitalists and these rulers in the white power structure. We got to begin to mount up an offensive and a counterattack. See? Because this two-party system has got many of us fooled. Especially my black brothers and sisters. My black brothers and sisters are very much deceived by this tricksterism of both parties. You know you've been tricked. If you ask the average black man and black woman, do you feel like something is wrong? 9 times out of 10, the black man and woman will tell you yes. They may not be able to tell you what it is, but they know something is wrong. See? And so now you got to begin to go for self-determination. See? You got to now begin to put down personal advantage and honor. We're so caught up in these personal advantages. You're so caught up in the honor from the system and the decorations from the system. Feeling so good about the positions and the decorative posts that you may occupy. But that does not change the condition of the black masses. It does not help the overall condition of black people. How much good does it do to be appointed to a lofty position on your job, a lofty seat in Congress, a lofty seat in the cabinet of Mr. Obama, a lofty seat wherever, if your entire local, state, and federal legal system is stacked against justice for the entire black nation? How much good does it do if you are unfairly taxed? You have unfair taxation without true representation. How much good does your position do? Or even the very currency of money in your pocket, if the very currency in your pocket is worthless paper because it has no real gold or silver backing it anymore. How much good does it do? The Bible says it like this. It says, what good does it profit a man or woman? What good does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and lose his or her soul? See, right now you, as a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, or the descendant of African slaves, you should see the condition of your people and be heartbroken right now. I should see the condition and do see the condition of my people, and I'm heartbroken right now. But just seeing the condition, just seeing your black brothers and sisters being shipped off 9,000 miles for a freedom they don't enjoy on this soil, that's not enough just to see it. You got to be willing to organize in your very cities, organize in your very household, organize in your very neighborhoods to make a real and deserving change. I hope I'm making sense on Black Power Radio. The whole local, state, and federal criminal justice system is stacked against the black nation. Buck wild, buck brute police officers right now ride around, shoot a black man down in the ghettos of North America. And 9 times out of 10, unless there is true political power and the organization of the masses in a particular cause, in a particular direction, the courts always will come back and say to you and me that it was justifiable homicide. How can this be allowed? How can our people be killed in cold blood by supposed peace officers? Supposed men and women that are supposed to serve and protect. But yet, the court's verdict, 9 times out of 10, I would say, comes back justifiable homicide. And the police departments all across this country, they never testify or snitch on their own. They'll tell me in private, they know about the rogues on the force. Many black officers get treated unfairly by the white officers, are discriminated against by the white officers, are kept in inferior positions and conditions by the white officers. They'll tell me that in private. But there's far too little of you on the force out there who won't stand, who will stand up for righteousness and justice and will stand against the status quo of the extension and the arm of the state. You got to be willing, brother and sister, to be uncomfortable in this hour, because your people are uncomfortable all over the globe. The whole mother continent of Africa right now is uncomfortable right now. It ain't just Libya. It's all over the continent. They're bombing the hell out of our mother country, bombing the hell out of African leaders, African government. If the African government won't bow down to U.S. interest. They tell them they're going to bomb the hell out of them. That's what I said. How can you feel good in the hells of North America and the entire system is stacked against your people? See? You got to look at the real face, black man and black woman. You got to begin to look at things for what it is and not for what you want it to be. You can't look at the mask of deception. That's why I said too many of us are buying the program hook, line, and sinker. They tell you they're going to fight for freedom. You need to be wise enough to ask them, how come they're not fighting for your freedom here on this soil? How come they're not fighting for the freedom of political prisoners on this soil? They act like political prisoners don't even exist. If it was not for the grassroots movement, if it was not for the grassroots movement, Mumia Abu-Jamal wouldn't even be receiving a new trial right now. But because there were activists from all over the globe, from all different ethnic backgrounds, and his own brothers and sisters who organized and who stayed the course and who fought the good fight and the real fight, Mumia Abu-Jamal is receiving a new trial. But that did not come from any national or federal intervention. That came from us pushing the facts. That came from us putting pressure on these bastards. That came from us organizing properly in a scientific method. So you got to begin to look at things for what it is. There is no benevolent judge and no benevolent member of the system that's just going to all of a sudden do the right thing. It takes the revolutionary judges. It takes the revolutionary lawyers. It takes the revolutionaries that are in Congress, if there's any. It takes the revolutionary on the police force. It takes the revolutionary man or woman that's in power to make a real systemic change. But the grassroots must become stronger regardless of what the hell the establishment does. Because, see, that's the same thing that The same line that was used when they were trying the Germans under Hitler. They was talking about the Germans said that they just were following orders. They were just following commands. They were just following instructions. And that's the same thing that they say about the black man and black woman. The atrocities that we face, they're just following orders. They're just following policy. They're just following instructions. But damn, that's not going to work today, black man and black woman. That cannot be allowed to stand. You that are in these positions, you're not going to be able to say to the black nation that you were just following instructions and that be accepted as okay. There comes a certain point, a certain time, when you have to begin to buck instruction. That's what I said. For all of those listeners, when there comes an instruction down the pipeline that tells you to do something against your people, something that you know is unjust and unrighteous and untrue against your people, then you as a strong black man, strong black woman, a noble black man, a noble black woman, you have to muster up the strength to tell your superior, hell no. Hell no. See, that's the kind of strength that we want you to draw from the black power general, Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad. We want you to draw that kind of strength from our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. But we want you to look within yourself and to find that strength within yourself to say, hell no. See? You're not going to be able to say you were just following instructions, so you work to jail and imprison your own people under the guise of a democracy or a freedom that they do not enjoy here in North America. We are the most profiled, racially profiled people in the world. We are the ones who were robbed of our names, our language, our culture, our religions, our folkways, our foreways, robbed of our norms and robbed of the very power of our own being. Robbed of our very mental power. We've lost our minds in the hills of North America. We lost it all here. So there is no excuse that you'll be able to say you were just following instructions. You were just following the chain of command. And you did some kind of tyrannical act against your people. This is why I say, my brothers and sisters, that you must prepare now, number one, for survival in the hells of North America, and number two, prepare for true revolutionary political power. Prepare yourself now. Stop considering yourself niggers and colored people, Negroes and shines, ham bones, or just a basketball player or a sports figure or a person that goes to work every day or can rap a good rap. You must now begin to consider yourself a ruler, a person that's preparing for power, rulership, government, governance, independence, international trade and commerce. You must begin now to separate yourself from your oppressors, your exploiters. Begin to separate yourself from those who intend to keep us in a perpetual state of ignorance, suffering, shame, death, murder, and brutality. You must look at the real face of America. Look at the real face of America. Don't look at the hypocritical mask and the deception. Look at what's being done in your name. Look at what's happening in our community. Look at what's happening to our youth and our babies. Take a real good look at your economic situation today. Look at how so many are in poverty while just a few of us are enjoying any kind of stature. Look at it for what it is. And stop nursing on the illusion of the American dream. See? Don't fall for the two-party shell game. I'm going to spend some time soon on even the independent forces that are out there, the so-called third forces that are out there, and how many of them are controlled by the white power structure, Zionist controlling capitalistic forces. But don't fall for the two-party shell game, black man and black woman. See? You got to begin to think. You got to begin to think in real terms and stop this wishful thinking and this fantasy thinking. See, that's one thing that white supremacy in religion has done to us. It has made us fantasizers. Where through slavery we were fixated on a place in the sky. And the white slave master did not allow us to think in real terms. Destroyed our minds from thinking in real terms until you were fixated on the sky but did not deal with the reality on the ground. And many of you from all kinds of spiritualities, you're fixated on the sky. You're an astronaut. You're a space cadet. But you refuse to deal with the situation on the ground where you live. That's why the Black Power General would tell us, don't tell me about no pie in the sky. He said, give me something sound on the ground while I'm still around. Give us something sound on the ground while we're still around. To you preachers out there, you ministers out there, you imams out there, you black politicians out there, stop selling us fantasies. We're sick of your fantasies, tired to death of your fantasies. Stop talking fantasy to us. Let's start kicking the statistics, kicking the ballistics. Let's start rolling up our sleeves and dealing with this real reality. Because the real fact of the matter is, there are young black boys and young black girls out there, innocent men and innocent women out there, who are dying on a daily and consistent basis, dying on an everyday circumstance that is real. When your pockets are broke, your pockets are broke for real. Stop talking this fantasy talk to us. See? Malcolm X said that a chicken is not constructed to produce a duck egg. A chicken is not constructed, Minister Malcolm taught, to produce a duck egg. And so the nature of this beast, the nature of this enemy, the nature of this white power structure, this capitalistic system, these capitalistic parties, this U.S. imperialism, it's not constructed to produce freedom for black people. I'm going to say that again. The nature of this beast, the nature of this enemy, the nature of our oppressors, the nature of this white power structure, this capitalistic system and these parties, they are not constructed to give freedom to the black man and black woman. Just like the chicken is not constructed to lay a duck egg. All they can do, all the Democratic Party can do, all the Republican Party can do, all anything outside of your own black hands, your own black will, your own black self-determination, all it can do is give you concessions. See? Especially to certain ones in the middle class. See, these are the so-called middle class. That's an element, that's a thing in which the capitalists expect to use and contain and to police the rest of the black masses. See, when you look at our sister Oprah Winfrey, and when you look at these others that are in the 10%, see, the rich, the bloodsuckers of the poor, when you look at them, I say that they're safe because they're the reason why they're there. The whole reason why they're in place and in the positions that they're in is to maintain and to police and to control the black masses. Watch how they come around these politicians during electoral seasons. I'm talking to even you entertainers out there, you celebrities out there. Watch how, watch these ones that come around during electoral seasons and during certain political objectives. They're put in place to maintain and to police the black masses. See, but they're incapable of promoting and making profound economic or political or social changes needed to solve the problems of millions of oppressed, in particular black men and black women. How do I know? Because it hasn't happened. Generation after generation, decade after decade, time after time, see, move after move, election after election, building after building, meeting after meeting, the situation does not change for the masses, the black man and black woman. That's why when President Barack Hussein Obama took office, the new Black Panther Party, we said we're going to sit back and watch. We didn't endorse him for you liars out there. For you liars out there who tried to say that we endorsed the man, we never endorsed Barack Obama. We highlighted the good of him as a black man. We said we would give him a chance. Can't judge a man or judge a woman before you give them a chance to do something. Can't judge a person So we said we give him a chance. We highlighted the fact that he was a black man with a black woman for a wife and black babies. That's what I said. A black man with a black woman for a wife and black babies. We applauded that. Thought it was a great image. If nothing else, it was a great image for the young babies coming up, for the youth that was coming up and coming up, so that you and my children would be able to see a black couple, a black influential couple together with black children resembling a black family unit. That's to be applauded. But the moment he started fudging on Israel and Zionism, then if you can remember, the new Black Panther Party came out immediately. Our national chairman was the first on it with an article that said Obama has it wrong, or something to that effect, on Israel. It's wrong about Israel. When you look at him today, what is he doing? He's buck-dancing to Israel. Buck-dancing to Israel. Buck-dancing to Zionism. Zionist pressure. He's buck-dancing. He's a buck-dancing Negro in the White House. Buck-dancing. He's not standing up strong. We want you to stand up strong if you're going to stand up. Stand up strong and be counted and make your ancestors proud. Quit buck-dancing to Zionism and pressure from Israel. Quit bombing the hell out of the mother country and our African homeland to appease the white man, to appease our oppressors, to appease our colonizers, our exploiters. Quit bump dancing and send some real aid to your Kenyan brothers and sisters. Send some real aid to your family that's suffering there in Kenya and there in other parts of South Africa. Quit buck dancing and stand up for your people. People like Shirley Chisholm, who ran before you ran, before you even thought about running, who stood up on a platform that was designed to answer the needs and the wants of her people and our people, us black people. Huh? Why don't you be a bold politician like Adam Clayton Powell Jr.? Why don't you be the people's president and stand up and uproot and overturn some of this terrorism that's happening in the black community? Uproot and overturn these issues that our people are facing. All right? You got that kind of juice. You didn't just get elected by no white vote. You didn't just get elected by yellow vote or by brown vote. Black people came out in droves. Black people came out in droves. Some people who had never even voted before a day in their life stood in line. Some people braved the cold, braved rain to put a black man in office that they felt like would at least answer issues in the black community. And you have not one time, not one time, spoken to the issues affecting the black community in any substantial way. I know I'm pissing some of you off, but I gotta tell it straight. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz didn't make me not to speak the truth. He doesn't tell us not to speak the truth. I gotta speak the truth regardless to whom or what. You have not one time, President Obama, spoke to the black issues in the black community and organized in an effective way to help the conditions of the black men and women in your country, in the country you live in, the country you preside over. So what are we to do? You got $10 billion to spend on enemies, perceived enemies, that have never done anything to us. As Muhammad Ali said, they've never called us nigger. They've never hung us from trees. They've never Jim Crowed us. Their forefathers never put us in the halls of slave ships and bred us like cattle, branded us like cattle. Their forefathers and foremothers have never cut open the wombs of pregnant black women and watched the fetus drop to the ground and then nasty disease boot heel stomp the head of that innocent black life that fell to the ground. Their forefathers and foremothers have never tied black men to two horses and made the horses run in opposite directions, splitting the poor black brother in half. They've never done this to us. They have never allowed brute buck wild police officers to abuse and murder us in the streets. They've never allowed the influx of drugs and guns in the black community and CIA inserted crack cocaine in the black community, causing us to be black exploiters, black murderers of each other. They've never done that to us. But here we are with a 6,000-year-old enemy that has done that and more, and is doing that and more right now as we talk today. And you're telling me through your actions that you're unconcerned with the condition of people who have paved the way for you to be where you are today. Who have paved the way for you to be where you are today. And to you black brothers and sisters who think that you're going to take over, you know, some part of the power structure and use it in the interest of the black masses, I'm telling you right now on Black Power Radio, you're fooling yourselves. You're fooling yourselves, and you're trying to fool the masses of the people. Or the masses are fooling themselves. Because ultimately, when you try to do things from inside the system, from inside their power structure, it is not you that changes the power structure. It's the power structure that changes you. There's plenty of examples. Well-meaning men and women who have gone in with ideas of saying what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, how they're going to bring this about, how they're going to expose this, how they're going to change that. And then once they get into office, they get quiet as church mouse. In many cases, you can hear a rat piss on cotton because there are pressures, there are forces that control every major political seat and authority in America. You know, that man Barack Obama, just in trying to push some version, an early version of a health care bill, he got beat up so bad through Congress, beat up so bad through forces in the Senate, beat up so bad through forces behind the scenes, that ultimately by the time the bill was passed, it was so watered down. It was so watered down, it's like he didn't make nothing at all. They taught him an early lesson. Taught him an early lesson. You want it? That's why the new Black Panther Party takes the position that it takes, that we have to have independence. You have to be able to move as a free black man and a free black woman. without any strings attached, without any corporate strings attached, capitalist strings attached, hidden strings attached, hidden agendas attached. You got to be willing to be free in 2011. Because as long as you try to do it their way, they're going to put some confines on you. They're going to put some handcuffs on you. They're going to put some red tape around your issues. You're not going to be able to move in a manner that is necessary to gain the kind of freedom that you need, black man and black woman. Look at your history. Look at your history. Look at the example of black men and women who have tried to do it their way. And look at the ultimate end of what happened to them. See? Look at it. For those of you that you think that you're going to just use their Democratic Party, use their Republican Party, use, you know what I mean, their federal grants all the time or something that they give, just look at what happens. You're fooling yourselves. And I'm truthfully going to tell you that for those of you that think that this idea of having a third force, a quote-unquote third force, see, this third force within the system, you think that that's going to bring you complete constructive change? See? You think that that's going to do it for you completely? Both black Democrats, black Republicans, and black independents. See? Going to have to begin now to get together politically and come together to the table and bargain as a united front, as a united push, as a united block. See? Those of you that think that we should all just come together and have some kind of bargain with the two capitalist parties, or you're going to make them withhold some votes, or you're going to deliver some votes, or you're going to deal with the one that offers the best bargain to you. See, that is in the quote-unquote independent political action. It's called independent political action. Pardon me. It's called independent political action. But it's really nothing of the sort. You so-called third forces out there that you want to put the black Democrats and the black Republicans and black independents together politically and bargain in some united block. You want to be a united block. And you want to come together with the two capitalist parties and you want to try to put some kind of pressure on their voting. And see which one's going to offer you the best bargain. That's not going to work in 2011. Because that is not true independent political force. I'm trying to tell you, trying to wake my people up on some real right now on Black Power Radio. That's not true independent political force. That's not true independent revolutionary action. You got strings attached with that. All you could get out of that is just a few more concessions. You're not going to get any fundamental change. You will not get fundamental change, and it cannot even bring concessions, to be honest. Because both of those parties, both of those capitalistic parties are controlled by the same forces. Again, look at how President Obama punks out. Just punks out. He tries to do a balancing act between the two parties. See? We must begin to get independent, black man and black woman, of anything that is attached to their way of life, their way of thinking, their way of action, the complete white power structure. You got to begin to think outside of their parameters. You got to begin to know that you can survive. Other countries are doing it. Other nations, black nations, indigenous nations, they are surviving and thriving. Stop letting these television outlets tell you that Africa is some kind of jungle wasteland with malnourished brothers and sisters laying around with flies around their head. Some of you right now in 2011, you believe that Africa is some kind of malnourished country where everybody that's in Africa got their bones showing, they're half nude, and they got flies flying around their head. You better get your passport and take you a trip. You better take you a trip over there and see for yourself the real civilization, the ingenious design, the buildings, the unity, the community, the love that's there, the agriculture that's there, the business that's there, the trade that's there. Don't you fall for the okey-doke and take the bait, hook, line, and sinker and buy into that old adage that, you know, when you came from Africa, you had bones in your nose, you were swinging from the trees saying ooga booga. Don't you buy that old fantasy. You better know the truth and know where you come from. What in the world does the white European, the colonizers, look like going to Africa to get a whole nation of people, displace them and bring them through the Caribbean to make them a slave and ultimately to America to build a nation of their own? If they were choosing from people swinging from trees saying ooga booga. All of the historians who have factual data tell you that they copied this civilization from our African civilizations. They copied. When you look on the back of the dollar bill, you clearly see it in symbolism that the eagle that is in the east is, the eagle that's there is looking over to the pyramids in Kemet. Looking over to the pyramids in Africa. It's looking over to you and my forefathers' buildings and our writings and our civilization, our education, our knowledge. They were looking at us for guidance, as they always have and do today. What do they look like going to build a brand new colony, into a new nation? From uncivilized, uncouth, untrained men and women. They knew better than that. All of their early writings talk about the beauty of our civilization. That's when Napoleon and others went over there. They were jealous, they were angry, and they began to take their cannons and they would shoot the noses, the broad noses and the thick lips off of our monuments, because they were jealous that Europe was in such a futile position. England and the other white nations were in such a futile position. They were jealous. As we say in the streets, they were hating. They were hating. And so all of this, the monuments, the statues, the carvings, they did their best to carve off the, as they said, the Africanoid or the African or the black features. They did not want you and me to have any reminders of who we were. They wanted to close off all avenues of light, all avenues of memory of who we are. And so most of us now in 2011, we revel in everybody else's country. Culture, pardon me. We revel in everybody else's history. You hear it now. We always hear a black person talking about, you know, they part Asian. No disrespect to none of you all. They, you know, how much Indian they have in their blood, or how much, you know, like Latin they have in their blood. They got this or that and the other, but you never hear our people in a proud voice. I'm talking about the average black man and black woman. You never hear us in a proud stance, in a proud voice, talk about the amount of Africa that's in them. The amount of Africa that's in us. The amount of African history that's in us. The amount of African culture that's in us. So you don't hear us talk the same about our Africanness. Because we don't know enough about Africa. Africa has been made ugly to us. It has been made futile to us, uncivilized to us. It's been painted as savage to us. And so any intelligent man or intelligent woman would immediately reject such an ugly picture. But what you fail to realize, black man and black woman, is that every other culture understands Africa, what it really means to the world. Africa right now, today, is the number one vacation spot for white folks. You go to Africa right now, Africa is overrun with white people vacationing. They love to go to Africa. But here you are, pitiful in the hills of North America, thinking that your mother continent is ugly, and in turn, you're thinking that yourself is ugly. You hate the broadness of your nose. You hate the thickness of your lips. You hate the kinkiness of your hair. You hate your eye color. You hate your cheekbone structure. You hate your body structure. You hate yourself. So many of us are so quick to put blue contacts in our eyes and purple contacts in our eyes, green contacts in our eyes, bleach blonde our hair. Just put a whole bottle of peroxide in your head to make your hair blonde and honey blonde and yellow blonde. So quick to buy these chemicalized perms and, you know, these temporary permanents and these processes and these conks and all of that. Texturizers and all of that stuff, we're so quick to put it in our hair. No disrespect to you, but you're so quick to put it in your hair because you don't love yourself. Too many of us, both male and female, feel like our hair, our African features, our black features is ugly. Because our sources of light, our avenues, have been cut off. Our true history and true herstory has been cut off. Our true purpose in this world, the reason why the black God, the creator of the universe, both heaven and earth, put us here, it has been cut off from us. And so we are lost in North America. We're really lost all over the world. But we are in particularly lost in North America. Without our names, without our language, without our culture, without our original ways, we are lost. And so this is the call of the new Black Panther Party. It is to have you to return to yourself, come back to yourself. Wake up, black man and black woman. Wake up to yourself. Wake up to your true potential. Wake up to who you really are. Wake up to what your real purpose is. Stop being a coon and a tool for the white man and the white power structure and the oppressor to use you to maintain its system of racism and capitalism and abuse and murder, suffering, shame, and death on your people and yourself. See? Stop it. You can stop it right now. You can stop it right now. But it's not going to be done by no Democratic support. It's not going to be done by no Republican support. It's not going to be done by no third force that thinks you're going to bring us all together or choose a lesser of two evils and give us successions. It's not going to happen. See? Because as long as those are the only choices, and as long as there's no alternatives to the two parties that they control, then the ruling powers have black people, not just the black vote, but black people at their mercy. See, when these wars were waged, you were not consulted. I was not consulted. When things happen, we are not consulted as to the outcome or whether we feel it's right or whether it's wrong. No, we're not talked about. We're not asked anything concerning that which concerns our lives. You should be sick and tired of it by now. As long as these are only alternatives, this two-party system, you're at the mercy of the white power structure. The only way that black people will be able to get out of capitalistic democratic fire, or as long as you are forced to go into the Republican frying pan or capitalistic fire, you have to establish your own party. You have to join on with your own party. You have to become independent. You have to begin to move towards your own nation and nationhood. See, they don't want you to think in terms of a group. Remember the old saying, divide and conquer, right? They don't want you. The establishment does not want you, does not want me to think in terms of group, nationhood, collective. We used to say that it took a nation to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. But we don't talk like that no more. We've become black capitalists our damn self. To where now it's a thing of get yours because I got to get mine. Get yours because I got to get mine. It's no longer about a collective. It's no longer about if a black man or black woman lose his life to black-on-black violence perpetuated by this system that we feel the pain. It's no longer a thing of if a black man or black woman is incarcerated because of the traps of this system and its establishment that we feel that pain. It's no longer that if your brother or sister, your natural brother or sister is sleeping underneath bridges, sleeping on bus stops, sleeping in parks, that we feel that pain. It's all about us now. We've become selfish now because this capitalistic system, this capitalistic way of rule has made us to become black capitalists. It's made us to be about get yours because I got to get mine. And while we're thinking like that, we're being jumped on by nations of people who think in collective. They move in collective. They organize in collective. They're unified as a nation. They're unified as a cadre. They're unified as a party and parties. I hope I'm making sense. They're unified in objective. We are the only people displaced from our nationality, displaced from our ethnic reason, displaced, disconnected from who we are. I always hear our people say, each one teach one. But it got to be each one reach one. And that one that's reached got to reach another. We got to begin to link up and lock arms. We got to become true Pan-Africanists, meaning that wherever a black man or black woman is found, we got to begin to roll with the like-minded. Now, some of you, you're not going to be able to roll with us. I'm just going to talk frank to you. Because some of you out there is Uncle Tom's, your Tom's. And I'm not encouraging anybody in the black nation to roll with any Tom. Anybody that you know or it has been proven that they betrayed the interest of the black nation, betrayed the agenda of black people, betrayed the proper programs and things which would bring us to freedom of the black nation. I don't encourage any of us to unite with them. In fact, there will come a day, and it's coming a day fast, where we will run you Uncle Toms from among us. See? We will have to begin to run you from among us. There will have to be some strong action out here. I'm not just talking no talk. I know exactly what I'm saying. The grassroots is organizing right now. In every city in America, especially every major city in America, to begin to move on you Uncle Toms and remove and unseat you from power, unseat you from influence, unseat you from your Tomism. See, that's why they're so afraid of these national days of action. They are so afraid of these national days of action. They spent overtime money, went all off into the treasury, went all off into the budgets, had all kind of intelligence officers, all kind of local police in different states and cities monitoring and trying to block the efforts, had people in certain state offices and state officials trying to block the permits in different areas, and so afraid of these national days of action because you know what this represents. You know we ain't out here talking no talk. We are organizing black people in the way that we should be organized. We're doing the very thing that J. Edgar Hoover did not want to be done. We're doing the very thing that U.S. imperialism does not want to happen. We're doing the very thing that the black petty bourgeoisie does not want to see happen. We are uniting the minds and hearts of black people, past religion, past political affiliation, past your tax bracket, past your skin color, your shade, your background, past your height, past your language barriers. We are uniting black people on a common agenda against a common enemy. See, that's what the scripture talk about. The scripture talks about Pharaoh saying that Pharaoh had to deal wisely with them. Pharaoh said that he had to deal wisely with them, or that they would unite and join on to an enemy of Pharaoh's. See? They're dealing wickedly wise with us. They're wickedly wise. They're dealing wisely with us in a way that keeps us divided as a nation of people. As long as we can get tripped off, tripped up on somebody's a Christian, somebody's a Muslim, somebody's a Buddhist, somebody's a Hebrew, this person is a Democrat, this person is a Republican, as long as we can get tripped up on nuances, then the white power structure continues to win. The white man and the white oppressors continue to win. The black oppressors continue to win. So the new Black Panther Party has made it absolutely illegal for any black man or black woman to be found beefing with each other unjustifiably. Some of us just look for reasons to argue, look for reasons to separate, look for reasons not to work one with the other. It's absolutely illegal. Africa is under attack. Your mother continent is under attack, and your very existence on this soil is being compromised. If every other ethnic group is coming together as a people, fighting for their own independence, fighting for their own freedom, fighting for their own struggle, fighting for their own everything, then it is incumbent upon us to unite around a common agenda, to unite against a common enemy, knowing that the same dog, the same rabid dog that bit your forefathers and foremothers over 400 years ago bites you and me right now, bites us too right now. We're getting bit all day long in different ways, and it will not stop as long as we are divided, as long as we refuse to unite, as long as we refuse to be independent and be an independent force, a real revolutionary political force, as long as we are disjointed as a body of people and a nation, they will do what they will with us. They've proven it time and time again. The things that we suffer as a people, the atrocities that we face, they don't happen in any other ethnic group, any other nation of people on the planet. They don't face it the way that we face it because they are at least united as a nation. And we have to stop. Those of you who are out there participating in your own people's destruction, whether it be through the genocidal acts of gang violence or perpetuating drug warfare or mental warfare, emotional warfare, we have to begin to put a cease and desist order as a black nation on your activity. I'm telling you, the grassroots is organizing, and we're sick and tired of things being the way that they are. And we're not willing to sit around and chant and say no justice, no peace, and march around empty buildings and get arrested by appointment. Dr. Connolly used to talk about Negroes that got arrested by appointment and tell your wife, honey, I'm going to be locked up from 3 to 7, I'll be home for dinner by 8. No, we're not talking about you. We're talking about real strugglers. We're talking about real freedom fighters. We're talking about real warriors who want to see our people get out of this condition that we're in. We're talking about people who are putting it all on the line. Putting it all on the line, not just for a few concessions, but so that we can establish our own orders of business, our own trade away from capitalism, our own freedom away from imperialism and domination, so that we don't have to depend on Uncle Tom leadership that has failed to lead black people to an independent role at such a critical hour and time in our lives, so that we don't have to just depend on unions and bureaucrats, see, that have prevented people from work and prevented people from doing what they got to do for themselves. See? We have to begin to think in real terms. But it can't just be on a small basis. You must begin to become radicalized, black man and black woman, and be able to defeat and replace even your capitalistic, bloodthirsty, murder-thirsty, criminal-minded misleaders. You got to begin to think about what part you're going to play and what part I'm going to play, what part we're going to play in our own rise. Black people, to be honest, we don't have time to sit around and just wait until certain things happen, until everything is right and everything is in the right kind of place before we make a move. Black people need political weapons right now. We need revolutionary idea right now. Revolutionary weapons right now. See? We need that now. We don't have time because our community is self-destructing to their enjoyment. Our community is self-destructing as a part of their plans. See? It's going haywire. I don't even have to ask you where you live at. Wherever I touch down in America or wherever in the world, wherever the black-white dynamic exists, you see the white on the top and the black on the bottom. Wherever that dynamic exists, whatever the party, whatever the social system, wherever that dynamic exists, the white are on the top and the black are on the bottom. So it's not no fluke. It's not no fluke when black people get together and fight for control of our schools and our community. See, that's political action. We're not just talking about going somewhere and just voting and checking a box. That ain't all that politics is. See, because some of you rightfully so, you have become disillusioned. You know, you have become disillusioned with, you know, the two major parties or even, you know, certain independent parties, and you reject all political action. Sometimes as useless. Some of our people call it useless. You become disillusioned. You know? But I'm here to tell you this. You know, even if you think it's useless or diversionary, that you mistakenly identify politics narrowly with electoral activity or casting a vote. You fail to understand what politics really is or what it can be and what a powerful platform, an independent black party, such as the new Black Panther Party, could give to the revolutionary movement. See, when Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. was here, he would tell you and tell us that politics is everything. Politics is about the price that you pay for milk, the price that you're paying for bread, what's going on at the gas pumps. You know, how much, you know, you're being charged for gas in your homes, electricity in your homes. How much we're being, you know, taxated. How much, you know, we're paying for cars and car notes. The amount of people that are in prison, in jails. The disproportionate amount of black men and women that face crazy sentencing and death row, how we feel the jails and the morgue, all of that is politics, brothers and sisters. Everything is political. And see, it's when you know that that you become infused with the ability to make a move. See, there are different and even opposite kinds of politics. We're not talking about the politics, the plantation politics that you see Barack Obama using, or that black people in America see all around themselves, or what usually passes for politics. See, that's phony. That's status quo politics of the capitalists, the racists, the shysters, the horse trading, the hypocrisy, the Democrats, the Republicans, in which only a few get rich at the expense of the many. We're not talking about that. We're talking about black politics. We're talking about black nationalism, pan-Africanism, and when black people get together and fight for the control of your own community, your own schools, your own education, when black people come out into the streets and push beyond endurance, you push and organize to remove racist cops, gouging merchants, filthy landlords, and everything else that you see in the ghetto life and in the black community. All of that is politics, brothers and sisters. All of that is what the new Black Panther Party is pushing for and drawing you to. See? These white folks, they'll change the politics and policies that affect the ghetto life. You know what I mean? The policies that affect ghetto life, you know, they will only change, the things that happen to us will only change if they're acted upon. The reason why groups have not, in these last few minutes, that groups have not been successful is because our efforts, our attempts to make real change, which is revolution, complete constructive change, a complete turnaround, is because in terms of black life, in terms of hood life, in terms of so-called ghetto life, our pushes for liberation, our pushes for change, our pushes for organizing efforts, they're limited. They're too limited. They're sporadic. They're inconsistent. They're unorganized. They're semi-conscious. And they're unsustained. You could name me a myriad of groups out there, black groups out there, and I will show you how their attempts at changing the black reality are limited in scope, sporadic, unorganized, either semi-conscious or unsustained. And if such mass action and direct struggles were combined with consistently organized struggle to gain political power, if they were initiated and led by the people, black people, in your own political party, like the New Black Panther Party, that rightly spoke for you and act for you and you acted for yourself and represented the struggling masses, hey, that'll bring you to way much more than casting a vote or checking off some box in some kind of electoral double cross. See, we got to tell you that your political activity, your electoral activity, your very life existence itself doesn't have to be opposite of revolutionary struggle. It always has been and will be and can be an essential part to produce it and push it forward. You got to have revolutionary struggle. And it becomes a very valuable piece of the arsenal of struggle techniques in a war where Minister Malcolm already told you that you got to use every mean necessary. So, but you out there right now, if you're in the hood, if you don't have to be living in the hood, but if you're in the hood or wherever you are, you could be in an affluent neighborhood. Support this political idea, the ideology, support our revolutionary tactics, support our fervor, because our black party, a party that is independent of the capitalistic racist agenda, based on black people in the hood, the downtrodden, as we said in the 60s, the lumpen proletariat, could carry out so many worthwhile activities. In addition, you could also run your own people in political office. People from the block, people from your neighborhood, people who have struggled just like you, who, if not you, come up and see the condition and will not betray the condition of the people. See, that's what we need. We need people that are not sellouts. We need people that will not punk out. We need people that will not bow out. We need people that will not give us up and spend $10 billion to wage a war, senseless wars, on Africa and other parts of the globe when you have people that are dying of disease and hunger, not only around the world, but right here in the United States, right here in this very country. The poor and needy, they suffer. In particular, the black, poor, and needy, we suffer. As long as our agenda is not on the table and as long as no one is talking about what's happening with us. I ask you, brothers and sisters, to support our upcoming move with our National Day of Action on June the 25th. June the 25th, putting a National Day of Action forward to address the issues that are going on in the black community. If you're interested in joining, email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. One more time, it's nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. And if you're interested in addressing the black needs and black issues in your community and dealing in specific with the black agenda and the things that affect us on a daily and consistent basis, then unite as an independent political revolutionary force with the New Black Panther Party and stand up to change the very black life that you're living. Email us your inquiry at nbpphq@yahoo.com. One more time, it's nbpphq@yahoo.com. And we'll organize right in the area that you live in the cities that you're from. We'll be on the ground with you to work and organize against and unify our people. Organize against the ills that affect our people and unify our people to change the very conditions that we're living in. I'm your brother and your servant, Sean Kwali, just doing my part in this dispensation of time. And I say that the call is freedom or death. And that as long as there is no peace for black people, there should be no peace for anybody. We say black power for black people, all power to the people. And again, the call is freedom or death. Until next time, we ask that you join us again for another power-packed edition of Black Power Radio, where we intend to bring you the truth as taught by our ancestors, given from the almighty supreme wisdom of the black God and passed down through the wheels of time to different messengers, warners, apostles, and prophets, and given to our people as a collective body. We're going to give it to you and get that white supremacist ideology out of your mind. I love you all, my people. Death to our enemies and our oppressor. Black power.